Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to the Message of Truth this morning. We hope you become a regular listener. We also encourage you to watch our TV program that airs following this broadcast at 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. on Public Access Channel number 6, entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a view. We also encourage you to visit our website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. On that website, you'll find previous broadcasts of all of our radio programs, and our TV programs are also on that website with a host of other Bible information that will be helpful to you. We also encourage you to our worship services and periods of Bible study here at Harrisburg Church of Christ. Those times will be given at the end of this broadcast. You will always be welcomed and warmly received. We're examining the overview of the entire Bible, and we continue our study of the New Testament this morning in the book of Romans. The book of Romans is a book written by the Apostle Paul. It's a very powerful book, probably one of the more difficult books of the New Testament, sadly, because so much of its teaching has been misunderstood and misconstrued and mistaught by many in the world. We see in Romans chapter 1 that Paul identifies himself as a bondservant of Jesus Christ. We see in verse 4 that Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of Christ. We also read an important statement in verse 16 and 17. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And so we see God's power to save men is not in some gimmick. It's not in men. It is in the gospel. It is the message of the cross. That is the power in order to save men and redeem them from their sins and reconcile them to God. And we see in the first chapter of the Roman letter that Paul is addressing the Gentiles who do not have a relationship with God. And since they did not know God, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped a creature rather than a creator. And that lack of knowledge of the true God led them into all types of ungodliness and separated them from God by the sin that they had committed. In chapter number 2, he turned his attention to the Gentiles and told them that they were condemned before God too because they had the law, but they did not practice it. But we know the judgment of God is according to the truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? We see in chapter number 2 that God's justice is upon all men, and all men are required to follow God and to do his righteousness. And the Jews, even though they had a relationship with God and they were given the oracles of God first, it did not benefit them because they did not keep them. And verse 11 teaches the truth in chapter 2 that there is no partiality with God. Jew or Gentile, both are required to be faithful unto God. In chapter number 3, we find out in verse 23 that all have sinned and fall short of the law, Jew and Gentile alike. We all are in the same condition. We have committed sin. We're guilty of sin. Sin separates a man from God, according to Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. And so everyone is in need of the gospel of Christ. Why? It is the answer to how man gets redeemed from the sin that has separated him from God. We see in verse 20 of the 23 of this verse that everyone is in need of the gospel. And so the gospel is a universal message for all men in order that they might be saved. And then in chapter number 4, he showed that works can justify a man if they are the works of God. There are many that take the teaching of chapter 4 to try to explain that there is no responsibility or no duty for doing anything. And if we do anything, or we say we have to do anything in order to be saved, then we negate God's grace. But what they do is they take passages out of context. Let me give you an example. In Acts chapter 4, it says, "For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. You see, law just pointed out the transgression of men because they failed to keep the law. And what it did is pointed out sin. And so they take passages like in Romans that said, no man can be saved with the law, which it means the law of Moses in the context. But they say that means that law is not important, just grace and faith. But that's not what it's teaching. Abraham is an example of faith by works. How do we know that? Faith by works saved because Abraham did the things that were commanded by God. He left his homeland in Genesis 12. He offered Isaac on the altar in Genesis 22. He was faithful. He did the things that God told him. Works of God, faith that was demonstrated by works. Read James 2, verse 18 through 26. In chapter 5, we find out that man's justified by faith, and he has peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace. Understand this, ladies and gentlemen. We have access to grace through our faith. Through our obedient Bible faith, we have access to the grace that saves us and allows us to have a relationship with Christ. We also see in chapter 5 that Jesus died for all men. It says in verse 6, while we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone might even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for the sinner. He died for all men. Verse 9 is an important statement. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved through wrath, from wrath through him. Justified by his blood. The blood is what acquits a man, makes him right before God. That makes it of utmost importance to know how to contact that blood. Well, that answer is given in Romans chapter 6. Or do you not know, as many of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also will be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that the old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Understand that in Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 7, we are given the understanding that we're baptized in the death of Christ. Why? To contact the blood, because that's where the blood can be contacted. And that blood, when it contacts our sin-stained soul, we arise to walk in newness of life because our life is now changed because the blood of Christ has wiped the slate clean. Not the water, but the blood. But the access to the blood is through the water. And then if we've died to Christ, we must die to sin. We must not go back living in sin. We must reject sin, and we must live faithfully. In Romans chapter 7, we see in the first four verses that an illustration is used why the Jews could leave the law of Moses, because that law was nailed to the cross. And to illustrate that, it shows the responsibility of a husband and wife. Man and wife are married until one party dies. And when one party dies, then the other party is free to marry, and they're released from the law. In a similar manner, they are released from the law of Moses because it was nailed to the cross. It died, and they can be married to Christ and not commit spiritual adultery. And so he uses the illustration in the first four verses. We see at the end of chapter number 7 that there's a war that's going on inside of us. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is a battle going on between the flesh and the spirit. Each are seeking supremacy. Whoever we yield to, whoever we give control to, is the one who is leading our actions and our mind and our bodies. In Romans chapter 8, in verse number 1, Therefore now no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now understand, why is there no condemnation of those in Christ? Because they walk according to the Spirit. We walk according to the Spirit-revealed Word. We conform our lives to His teaching. That's why in verse 14 it said, for many of us are led by the Spirit of God. These are the sons of God. How is one led by the Spirit? We're led by the Spirit when we follow the teachings of Christ. Why? Because those things were revealed by the Spirit. We'll talk about that next week when we talk about the book of 1 Corinthians. We're told in verse 17 that if we are children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. We see in Romans chapter 8 at the end, beginning in verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? We also see, beginning in verse number 35, that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. All the things can happen. None of it can separate us from Christ if we remain committed and faithful to him. In chapter number 10, we see that the Jews had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. In verse 3, it says, for being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted to the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. You see, the Jews, they had zeal. They had a love for God, but they had not according to knowledge. It's like many people today. They say they have zeal, but they have no knowledge, and their zeal is futile if it's not compelled and it's not joined with the true knowledge of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. In Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1 and 2, we're told that we're not to conform ourselves to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is good and acceptable, the perfect will of God. We are not to live like the world. We are to conform our life to the teachings of Christ. We also see in chapter number 12 that we're not to practice evil for evil, that we're to live peaceably with all men as much as lies within us, verse 18, and we're not to avenge ourselves or take vengeance according to verse 19 through 21, but we overcome evil by good. We see in Romans chapter 13, the first seven verses, that we are compelled to follow governing authorities, for they were established by God, and that we are to live under that authority unless it conflicts with the word of God. In Romans chapter 14, we have matters of indifference, things that we could be disagreeing upon that are not doctrinal matters, not matters of salvation, but private convictions that we hold. And he gives examples of eating of meats and the keeping of days. The Jews may have had a tender conscience about that, but they could have still continued to have that conscience and still remain faithful to Christ, and there shouldn't be no division over that. In Romans chapter 16, he commends men who had helped him and greeted them and asked that they would be kind to them. And then in the verse 16, it says, greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I urge you, brethren, note that those who cause division are offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them. We see here that God hates division, but those who divide are those who do not continue following the doctrine and do things contrary to the doctrine. And so the books of Romans is 16 chapters, but it shows how faith, works, and grace work together for the salvation of man. We thank you for tuning in this morning. We hope you'll tune in again next Sunday morning as we continue our discussion of the New Testament. And we would also invite you to come and study and worship God with us on this Lord's Day. We want you to know that you will always be warmly received, and we hope that you'll do that so we can get better acquainted. And if you have any questions about this broadcast, please feel free to contact us. Have a blessed day.